wasn't, well, the next year we saw Mother was pregnant again, we, Dell and I said, oh, we hope it's not another girl. But I didn't have any hair till I was 2 years old.
I got well, big shoes in my head.
Well, she had, and every winter for several winters, she would be sick with bronchitis or something. And then she did have big scabs all over her head. And the doctor gave her ointment, and then Mother, after it soaked in, would take and scrape them, these little, just in circles, scabs all off. And as she said, we have a picture of her. Oh, I haven't got it out. But it doesn't show she has much hair. But Mother kept at it and kept cutting it and everything like they told her. And she had a pretty head of hair after it got through. But at first she didn't think. But anyway, this one night when Gladys was a year old, which of course she doesn't remember, I had never seen my dad ever take care of any of us. Huh. And my mother got a call that her mother was dying. Now to get there, she had to go on the streetcar down 21st, along Washington, and then transfer to the 25th Street car, get off at Madison, go to 26th, then up to Liberty to get there. And that took quite a while. Well, she left Dad with us. It's the only time I remember. And I don't know why, but I never kept my eyes off of my dad that night. He put her to bed. Mother did before she left. But she knew. I guess Mother wasn't there. And she started crying. And crying. So Dad stood as long as he could, so he goes and picks her up. And he walks the floor back and forth and back and forth. And finally, he just took a hold of her this way and shook her like this. And I thought, oh, I wonder what's going to happen to her. And I just stood there. And so finally,
I was just a year old then.
Oh, yeah, you remember all about it.
Yeah, I know, but Grandma, I was born in 1912 and Grandma died in 1913. So.
Well, and so Dad went to the phone and told Mother she had to come home.
Huh.
And if Mother had been Dad's, boy, she'd have told him to. Anyway, she wouldn't have come home.
Right.
But she did. Now, if it had been my dad's mother and father, nobody could have torn him away. He idolized his parents, and we knew about it. He always talked about it. And I remember one of Vaughn's boys said, well, this is the first time I heard you talk about the Bluth mother and her family. But anyway, Mother did get home. But I think, when thinking back on it, that kid was scared of Dad's. Besides, I don't think he ever stayed around or picked her up or nothing, because she cried all the time.
Huh.
And he could have maybe given her to me. She should have known me.
Yeah.
But I never thought about that until after I left home.
That's interesting.
That possibly it might have been she was scared of him.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, Mother had no sooner got home when the phone rang and said her mother had died.
Oh.
And I thought about that and felt so sorry for Mother the rest of her life. To think that she couldn't, and have been Dad's, they'd have been there, nobody would have pulled him away.
Hmm.
So I think that's another reason when she got so sick and she knew that she never could get better again, that she wished her mother would come for her.
I see.
And so I think that's why.
That's interesting. She wanted,
but that's the only time I ever saw Dad even do much to a kid.
What did your Grandma Bluth die of, by the way? Do you know?
I don't have any idea.
I'm interested in the appearances of your parents. What eye color did they have? How tall were they?
Well, Mother,
about 5'4".
About 5'4". She is a dark brunette and big, beautiful brown eyes Mother had. Mm-hmm. And her sister, had blue eyes, didn't she?
Yes.
Mary?
Mary Blue Shree had blue eyes,
but her hair was a light brown. She wasn't blonde or anything like that. But
light brown, but she had blue eyes. But Mother was quite dark brunette, and I think Eris looked more like Mother than Mother's children, because she had dark hair and dark eyes.
Mother always said that of all her boys and that, they were nice looking, but when she knew Dad when he was young, he topped the list. They never come up to him. See, she could still remember how she loved him then.
Mm-hmm.
But well, Dad wasn't a tall man.
About 5'10".
That's what I'd say. But I know 5'11".
Well,
he should be a picture of Dad.
he had hair long, and it always curled around here. Of course, I didn't know him when he had hair like that, because he was bald-headed when I came. He was just
a little. But he still got the back, and there was still little hair.
Well, I didn't know he had its white fringe, but Dad was 55 years old when I was born, and so I knew him as an old man, and he had a comb about this wide, and it had teeth on both sides. And he'd read the paper, yeah, and he'd read the paper, and I'd scratch his hair out and comb his hair this way and that way, what little bab he had and everything else. But I'd spend the whole evening doing that, and I think Father read every column in the newspaper.
Well, I did that with Father when I was getting to a certain age, but Dad was curly, and he sat, like she said, with the oven stove door down, put his feet in. It was winter, and Dad was always a cold person, and Mother was
me
hot.
Too.
And when he put all the quilts they had before they had blankets, Mother couldn't sleep. She couldn't even turn over. It was so heavy.
But those old quilts were heavy.
Well, they were winter quilts, what they called later. I found out they were heavy for winter.
I couldn't sleep on anything
anyway,
like that.
I stood there, and Curly's hair, I sat up on the table. But he pushed over next to him, sat there, and curled his all across the top. See, Grandma Belknap had curly hair when she married.
You know, when your father passed away, there was quite a problem in settling his estate. We probably don't want to get into all of that, but when the whole thing was resolved, you had your house here, right, Aunt Jewel?
I was in Idaho.
Oh, you were in Idaho.
At the time.
What? Father died. Are you still on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the tape's still on.
Well, when I told you about jealousy and greed, that was it when Dad died.
They never forgave us for having the same father they had.
Well, that was the main thing. All the time, even kids and growing up, if you'd see any of them, they'd say, "We're better than you are." And I thought maybe that would be at the end of it. But here, a few years back, one of your sons came to me, and Arlene had been talking to him, and she told him our side is the only ones that got the talent.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Oh. Wasn't Stephen told her that?
Was the one that told me.
Mm-hmm. No,
well, he was still, you know, around Weavermore.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, seen her. And he'd met Arlene lots of times, you know, and talked to her. And I thought she had her gall to come up and tell him that they were the only ones that had any talent.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't the first generation, that's down.
That's not several generations.
So,
I know.
It's all the way down. And then when about this was Della's getting the grave. Marion come up from the grave for all that problem. She tells Knight, there are three lots there. There are mine. You go get them. So he put his name on them. And that's how come Walt got them. But we
Walt
could
be buried his daughter. Her dad told Della she could be buried next to Mama. Walter says, well, bury my daughter by a lady named Anna, but I don't know who Anna is.
Well, anyway, we could have stopped it if we'd been mean and ornery like them. And I think if Byron had his way, he would have done it. It would have delighted him.
Yeah, but he said Jill wouldn't back him.
Della wouldn't either, because she was stunned, shocked, because she had planned that all her life was for her. She was the only one that wasn't married that was left. Flora and Laura are all there.